Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
0-2, Fernando. High fly ball. Car rushed. Deep left field. Going, ball gone. How's his adjustment right there? Pretty good? Yes, he's adjusting, and this lead has been cut in half. Manny, line drive to left field. Not that deep, but you got to send him. A catch out there by Taylor. The throw, the tag, out at home plate.
Padres missed out on tying that game literally by inches. You heard Fernando Tatis Jr. You heard the call, at least, from Ted Leiter. That ball was absolutely pummeled. Unfortunately, the Padres lose the series to the Dodgers. They get the off day, a well-deserved off day, I might add. And listen, first and foremost, it was nice to see in that series the Padres kind of at least get their foot in the ground a little bit against this Dodger team. That deficit we saw last year would have, or any other year, that we saw last night, any other year would have been tough to see them being able to make a game of it. But this Padre team continues to show that they're different. Chris Ello, you were actually in the building yesterday. So let's put aside the series for a sec. And I want to get your take on what it was like watching big league baseball in the building.
It wasn't that great. I don't mean nothing against the Dodgers and the Padres. I gotta give these players. I'll tell you what I came away thinking, Tony, is honestly I gotta give these players a lot more credit than I was thinking of giving them before, because the atmosphere is absolutely dead, and I mean for these guys to be able to come up with the energy. And, you know, to focus in and play the way they're all playing. I mean, you're seeing great plays. You're seeing great throws, base running, close calls, stolen bases, long home runs, great pitching. I mean, you're seeing all of this stuff. And when you watch it on TV, you understand, well, there's no fans there, but it still kind of is the same sensory feel that you get watching on TV as you used to get. You know it's different, but you don't know how different it is until you actually get to the ballpark and sit there, as I did last night, and watch. I mean, they've got a little buzz of some fan noise that they play kind of in the background. But every bit of energy that these guys come up with, Tony, they have to manufacture themselves. And I gotta really give the players way more credit than I ever thought I was going to be giving them. That's what impressed me the most, was with the energy with which the guys were playing that game of baseball. I mean, this is, you talk about guys who play for the love of the game. I know they're getting paid, et cetera, but you got to love the game of baseball to play it the way they're playing right now without any fans.
Yeah,
they really do. I really got to tip my cap to that.
You can't make up the way you see Fernando Tatis Jr., like the way he plays, the energy he plays with.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make that up usually. You can't make that up at any time, let alone when there's no fans in the stands. Like, that's authentic. I tell you what, I wasn't in the building. I've been in the building with it for the exhibition game where they were piping the sound in. And so, like you said, you kind of get that buzz. But I was on the outside of the building. I was at the Fox Sports building doing some filming for Padres POV. And so I'm on the outside of the stadium, and I could hear the buzz. Like you, but I can also see into the stadium and then can see nobody there. You know what I'm saying? So the players, you bring up a good point. It is not easy in terms of being able to manufacture that energy. But, you know, I think across the league, you're seeing teams, players do it. And
no, the games are as good as they've been. And I wanted to say, you mentioned that this is a Padre team that really would have had no chance in that game last night. If you go back a season ago, down 7-2 in the sixth inning. Well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, as they say, Tony. When the Dodgers went up 7-2 in the sixth inning, I was out of there. And I didn't stay around, and I missed what might have been a great Padre comeback, because I guess I'm kind of used to the fact that when they get down 7-2, they're not coming back.
Right.
But they did come back, and they just missed by a whisker of tying that game. But, you know, I had to beat the traffic. I'm joking. There's no traffic getting out of the ballpark.
It almost went over my head.
You almost missed
it. Almost
did. Yeah. You almost missed that one. But, no, everybody kind of wants to go see a game. I get that, and I feel fortunate and, you know, lucky to be in the position that we're in, that, you know, we can call the Padres and get a credential and go down and see the game. And I thank Darren Feeney and Craig and all those guys for letting me come down to a game. But I got to tell you one thing. For all of those of you out there who wish you could see a baseball game, what you're thinking is you wish you could see a baseball game with 25,000 other people.
100%.
You don't wish you could see a baseball game sitting there in the loge deck by yourself with nothing to drink, nothing to eat, nobody to talk to, you know, nobody to react to.
You know what it makes you realize?
No music. No, there's a little scoreboard stuff going on. But it's a totally different thing, and these players are still out there playing their behinds off, and that's the part I was really, really liked.
You know what it reminds you? It reminds you that when you actually go to a baseball game, it's very rare that you just go to watch a baseball game.
That's
like,
right.
It's very rare. It reminds you. Like, unless you're going by yourself and you got one of the old school radio ear things you can put on your head and listen to Ted and Jesse call the game while you watch it, it's kind of a social event, right? You're there, you're talking to your friends, you eat some good food.
As a matter of fact, not to interrupt you, but I've taken my wife to dozens of games over the years. She hasn't seen many games because it is a social event. She's walking around the stadium talking to everybody she knows. And believe me, my wife knows a lot of people. So, you know, you're right, Tony. It is a social event. It's just fun. The atmosphere, it's the whole feel of being in the ballpark, having the beer vendor walking down the aisle, screaming out to get a beer, having the peanut guy throw something at you. I mean, there's obviously none of that right now. And it is it's an amazing thing to me to see these players play as hard and as well as they are.
Well, so. The Padre team is certainly playing hard. Listen, we could go back and forth, and I think Jace Tingler kind of hit on it yet last night after the game. There's still some little things that they need to clean up, but overall, this team is playing hard. They're playing. They're executing differently than they have in the past. Doesn't mean it's perfect. There's still some spots they got to clean up, but I got to say, man, for the first measuring stick, I guess you'd say the Dodgers were in this series. The Padres didn't win the series, but I think they're certainly farther along than they've ever been, at least in a long time.
They played right with them. They did. They played right with them. All three games were really good games, and you know, they're right there rallying in the bottom of the ninth inning. I have a couple of bones to pick about the performance last night, though. I mean, and that's part of what I can do because I was sitting there with nothing else to do. But, you know, look, Trent Grisham has to go back on make an unbelievable play if he catches that ball up against the fence. And you can speak as a center fielder how tough that play was in the second inning. And he's not able to grab it. He got his glove on it, but he couldn't catch it. And if he catches that, then when Peterson hits a home run, it's only a solo homer. That was one. The other one was in the Luis Patino inning. There was a ground ball hit by Chris Taylor wide of the third base bag, and I had a good angle on it from where I was sitting. I thought Manny Machado was going to eat that baby up and turn that into a double play, and he lunged for it, and he didn't get to it. And I got to be honest, Manny. I'm sorry, you're making $300 million. I'm allowed to be critical if I want to. I thought a dive was necessary on that play. You got to get that ball and at least get the force play at second base. And the ball got past him, got into left field, and then Peterson hits a three-run home run rather than a two-run run. And I honestly think those two plays were kind of the difference in the game. I'm sorry to be – I think I'm a little harsh on Grisham. I don't think I'm as harsh on Machado, because that's a play that I believe Nolan Arenado makes a DP out of that, and Machado didn't get it. Sorry.
Oh, that's not fair. That's not
fair. Am I being too much?
I think you are. I think only because diving isn't as simple as I need to dive for this ball. Depending on where he was positioned, if he dives, he overdives. He like overshoots the ball. So I think he was in the right to try to reach and grab it, because if he does, he probably can turn two. But those are all plays that are like 50-50 plays. Like, it's not as though these are 100% plays that should be made.
Fair enough.
But you know, at the end of the day, if the Padres are to turn that corner, those are plays that get made. You know what I'm saying?
That's for my sure. whole thing, Tony. I'm honestly trying to be critical and not be critical at the same time.
Right.
What I'm trying to point out is that at the end of the game, Chris Taylor need to make a really nice throw from left field to cut down the tying run. And
that's
you know
fair.
What? He did it. And
that's
the
fair.
Dodgers won the game. And as the game was going on, Trent Grisham needed to make a really impossible catch. And, you know, he didn't. I'm not really mad that he didn't. I'm just saying that's kind of where it lies right now. You've got to take that extra step.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dodgers, they somehow find a way.
That criticism is fair. That criticism is definitely fair. And,
so that's all I'm saying. I don't think Manny was lazy on the play. I don't think Grisham certainly gave it everything he possibly had. But the bottom line is Chris Taylor had to make a great play to save the game, and he did it. And that's why the Dodgers won the game in the end last night.
Okay,
so that,
I have a bone off my chest.
I thought about I have a bone to pick
with StatCast.
Oh, somebody, I do too. But you
somebody
go first.
Talk to me a little bit, because I'm reading. I get up, I read my morning Padre articles and ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of catch up. And I'm going through the Padre article, and according to AJ Casavell, the probability on that catch, the out that Manny Machado hit, was 50%.
50%.
I watched that play quite a few times. I don't know that that is a 50-50 ball.
Like, no, that's a 100% to 0% ball.
Now, we can argue about the actual, like, throw to the plate being online. Okay, you right. might be able to convince me of that. That, to me, was the most impressive part of the play.
The fact that
he's able to come up on a line drive. This isn't a high pop fly where he's able to kind of get behind it. He has to kind of all make this happen on the run. He puts himself in good position, makes a good throw, and literally gets Grisham by inches. That part was okay. You can convince me of that, but the catch probability can't be 50% on that one.
Well,
it just can't.
Let me just say this: if StatCast came up with that, StatCast also came up with the fact that the Jock Peterson home run that was hit off of Luis Patino was 35 feet further than the home run that Fernando Tatis Jr. hit. There is no possible way that can be true.
Agreed.
Just not. Jock Peterson hit the ball. I mean, Patino, that's the first fastball. It's not the last one he'll ever groove in his big league career. And Peterson put a great swing on it and hit it up into the palm tree there. But that home run that Fernando Tatis Jr. hit off a Stripling on that 0-2 pitch was about as high and hard and far as I've ever seen.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Oh, thank you, Ted.
Did.
As a matter of fact, Ted's got to – I love Ted. Ted, you got to come up with another – his crushed call is fantastic. I love it every time I hear it. But that Fernando Tatis Jr. home run deserved something beyond crushed, whatever that would be. You know what I mean? I mean, it was annihilated, that ball. But StatCast said it wasn't as far as the Jock Peterson. So
I don't know
who these StatCast people are, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, to be fair, let me read this. And tell me, is it different than how I presented it? Said a ball with a 50% hit probability. So that means what? It's a 50-50 ball, right?
Yeah, 50% hit probability means it was 50% that it was going to land in for a hit. I don't see how that's even remotely possible, because it was right at Chris Taylor. And then Grisham had to tag up, and he had to try it, and Taylor had to make a great throw.
Did it look like Trent was stumbling a little bit as he was getting ready to go home?
I think he was very excited to get off the bag as quickly as possible.
He got out of the gate a little slow?
Well, that doesn't help anything. I don't know if he got out slow. It just seemed like at some point he might have been – I don't know. It just didn't look clean to me. But yeah. I'm just finding reasons why we didn't tie.
Wait,
except
at least
trying to find a come up.
I was trying to tell my friend last night, at least there are plays like that to either cheer for or
right,
be depressed
right.
about. Because that never
goes back to, that goes back to the point. 7-2 last year before, it would have been hard to
Everybody
see.
Would have, there would have been traffic when I left in the sixth inning.
There would have
that's
been.
How many people would have left after that 3-run home run. But
this team grinded back, and this was after the big home run from Peterson that kind of took the air out of things.
Oh sure,
they grind back. Gigi hits the double, and you know the Padres are right back in this game. So I was happy with the series. We're going to hear when we come back. We're going to hear from Jace Tingler. We're also going to hear from Garrett Richards. Hear their thoughts about where the Padres are at right now, and as they go into this off day. This is Gwen and Chris got a big show, long show, 4 hours today. Ahead.
Full,
so
full up.
Full show. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so much good stuff for you on the Thursday program today. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwen and Chris. Buster Olney from ESPN coming up in about 15 minutes. Talk some baseball with him. Ryan McDonough, Radio.com, NBA Insider in the 4 o'clock hour. And it's been a good 24 hours on the Mesa for San Diego State. J.D. Wicker, the Aztecs athletic director, will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We've got a pop quiz coming up later on this evening as well. All right, back to last night's game, 7-6 Dodgers over the Padres. 7-6, by the way, is the Padres' record after that ball game. Day off today, their first of the season, and they don't get another one for quite a while, so they better enjoy it today while they can. Tony, a couple of things. Jace Tingler got his first ejection as a Major League manager last night. Manny Machado frustrated a little bit, and Jace Tingler took one for the team. And you know, that's another thing that you have to do that I'm impressed with. Yep. Jace Tingler and the way he's been handling the squad. You have to know when an ejection is necessary, and I thought that was a good time.
Yeah, I think as he put it, it was either me or Manny, and you obviously want to keep your best player, one of your best players in the lineup. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of reading the game, reading your guys, understanding when someone's boiled over, and if you don't hop in, it's going to be an ejection for one of your players. And I told you guys from the beginning, I thought Jace could do a good job. I think he has changed he has given his team an identity. That this team has been kind of searching for. And I think that has a lot to do with some of the new players they've added on the roster that have helped bring that identity. But they're walking in it. Like every game, there hasn't been a game that I recall where you didn't get to see. Maybe one of the games in Colorado kind of got away. But for the most part, all of the games you've seen a Padre identity, a way they want to play the game. And I think that's important. I think that's important. We want to kind of single out and talk about the Dodgers and overcoming them. You need that type of thing. You need to know what type of team you are when you're facing a team like the Dodgers. And I think the Padres are starting to understand. I fully expect the next time these two tussle, it's going to be an even closer series.
Well, it's going to be next week in L.A. It's not going to be long off. You got a weekend series with Arizona, then you go to Los Angeles for 4 next week. So you'll get a quick chance to get right back at them. Jace Tingler was asked after the game last night what he learned about his team during this series, and here's what he had to say.
Things that we've known and we've seen that we can play, and but if we want to get to where we go or want to go, we've got to be a little bit better in about 3 or 4 phases. So I think the good thing is, you know, it's been a 13-day run, get a chance to get the off day tomorrow, reset, relief pitching gets a chance to kind of reset, grab some air, same thing offensively. And then, this 13 game, off the bat was tough. Now we got to prepare for 17 coming our way. So, it's a lot of the teams that we just played.
He's got that right, starting with, as I mentioned, with the Diamondbacks tomorrow. The other thing that always interests me, Tony, is what the manager thinks about the mood of a clubhouse after a difficult loss, difficult series, one where you fight and you come up short. And I wanted to hear what Jace Tingler had to say about the mood of his clubhouse after the game last night.
You had a lot of, you know, players, you know, extremely upset and, you know, rightfully so. You know, they fought, you know, till the very end, and bang, bang play at home, you know, didn't go our way. So they're upset.
Good. I don't want to hear any party music after a game like that, Tony. Although you have to temper it some too. You don't want to get down in the dumps,
right?
Because it's just one of 60 games. But at the same time, I think you got to care, right?
You do got to care. In this situation, you could actually let that anger linger a little bit longer because you do have the off day.
Yeah.
Typically, though, with games coming right back behind back behind each other, you really can't dwell on it too long because if you carry it over to the next day, a lot of times it doesn't really work out for you. So,
you can drive home with the window down and your son sitting beside you, and you can say, "We suck, we suck, we suck." But once you get home, you have to put it aside.
You got to put it aside.
You got to put it aside.
But no, you're right. It's nice to hear. I mean, you could see that in Trent Grisham's face as he got called out and had to make his way back to the dugout.
Yeah.
He didn't look like a happy camper walking through the dugout getting down to the tunnel there.
No, it was too bad. The other thing that was fun last night was seeing Luis Patino make his major league debut. I thought it was amazingly, I don't know if ironic is the right word, Tony, but first batter he ever faces in the major leagues is the reigning NL MVP, Cody Bellinger. And he got him out, but then he gave up his first home run. He got his first strikeout. And then, you know, look, they came back with him for another inning, and he got through that one scot-free. So, you know, I was impressed with the way he bounced back after getting up the home run. Here's what Jace Tingler said about Patino's debut.
Thought, you know, came in. You know, we were looking for a little softer landing, but this is the NL West. There's no soft landing, especially with the Dodgers. And, you know, a spark and you know, he gave up two ground balls that got through, and then obviously Peterson clicked him, and, you know, Peterson clicked a couple balls tonight, you know, but I was impressed with how he went back out in the second inning, and I thought that was good. And it's always nice to kind of, you know, finish on a higher note, and hopefully he gets some confidence and, you know, continues to go for us.
Absolutely. Debut for Luis Patino last night, a couple of innings of work to start off his major league career at the age of 20. Man, you just got to keep saying that to yourself, Tony. He's only 20 years old. Of course, Fernando Tatis Jr. is only, what, 22?
21, yeah.
21. Sorry, yeah, I don't want to age him. And my goodness, anybody who's at
that. The big cake, man.
I know you are, Fernando. Don't interrupt me anymore. I'm still
your
elder. Don't
you ever talk to Fernando like that.
I'm still your elder, Fernando. But anybody who was at the ballpark last night would never forget the home run he hit, and I'm sorry more people couldn't have been there. Just an absolute disaster. I mean, just annihilated that 0-2 fastball.
He clipped him,
yeah. But Fernando was asked after the game how he felt the Padres measure up to the Dodgers.
It was a tough loss, man. You said it. We play good ball, but I still feel we can play a little bit better. And nothing. They just play better this time. But definitely it's not going to end over here.
I mean, definitely not going to end over here. I love his quotes.
Does anybody disagree? I mean, yeah, I think the Padres play well. Could they play better? Absolutely. They can absolutely play better. And
sure.
Once they start playing better and they're on that level consistently is when you'll be talking more about Padres Dodgers, in terms of competing for this division. I mean,
yeah.
I truly believe that.
Well, they competed like they were competing for it this week. I will tell you, I thought three really, really good games. Garrett Richards took the loss last night. Not his best night, gave up a couple of doubles, gave up a triple, gave up a home run, and then talked about the character of the team after the game.
You know, these guys on this, we got a great lineup. We got a great lineup. We got a great starting staff, and we got a great bullpen. I mean, yeah, I know we've lost a few games here recently, but, you know, this team that isn't going to give up, this team is going to bring it. You know, we're ready to play, definitely. You know, I think every team has a night like tonight where maybe you're off a little bit. But, you know, as far as on a daily basis, this team wants to win every single game when we step on the field. And I feel like that's kind of like a starting base point. To any good team. So I only anticipate us getting better as this goes on. And, you know, I know that we have a ton of hardworking guys in this locker room, and I know that they're not happy with the way things have been going the last few days. So, like I said, I think that this off day coming up is going to be a nice little reset button for us. And, you know, we'll hit it running on Friday and put together a new streak on Friday.
There you go. Good attitude from Garrett Richards after that loss last night. So there's some of the comments from the Padres and manager Jace Tingler following that series with the Dodgers. Certainly, you would have liked to have won the series and be all excited and stuff, but there's bigger fish to fry, Tony. There's a long way to go. There's 7 games left against the Dodgers, first of all. There's another 47 games left in the season. What you needed to do this week, I think, was establish that you could play on the field with the Dodgers. And I think they did that, and I think that's what you're kind of referring to most more than anything today.
Yeah, no, give definitely you got to tip your hat to the Dodgers for them being the Dodgers. But this Padre team certainly looks like a team that's coming. And I agree with Richards that Garrett Richards, the fact that this team is only going to get better. I like that Matt Strom came in, had a clean inning. I like that Javi Guerra bounced back, had a clean inning. You got to keep building. The Padres got to keep building. 7-6 to start the season, off day. Let's see where these next 17 take us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lyle, as Fernando Tatis Jr. so eloquently put it there, he said, it's not over on this end.
Yeah.
We're not going anywhere. That's what I think what he meant. His quotes are fantastic. He's just so refreshing. All right, another guy who's refreshing and has good stuff is Buster Olney from ESPN, baseball writer. He will join us when we come back. We'll take a little time out. Day off for the Padres today. That means 4 full hours of Gwynn and Chris, and we're here till 7 o'clock. So much fun stuff still to come, but starting with Buster Olney, that is next. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr., and it's Gwynn and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3, The Fan.
.336 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Gwynn and Chris, Thursday afternoon, taking you all the way to 7 o'clock. Padres with the off day today. After a tough series loss to the Dodgers, they go down on a walk-off throwout at the plate. Very rarely see that in
kind of stuff in Tony Gwynn Jr. used to dream about.
Indeed,
out in
indeed.
Center field, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna we're talking some. Nice job, Terrence Gravy. We're talking some baseball, and what better person to have on to talk about some baseball than Buster Olney, ESPN. Buster, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, but you probably could have other people in a better position to talk baseball than me because we've had a blackout. Our power's off for 2 days. We had a storm come through here. So I've been chainsawing and cutting branches all that and going old school following baseball. You know, I live in the New York area, so you know, early in the evening, I got the Mets, I got the Yankees games, and then as the night goes along, I can listen to the Orioles and the Indians as the radio waves bounce. But it's been a couple of old school days.
Yeah, old school days. Well, at least on most regular days, you're a good person to have to talk some baseball.
Well, thank you.
I still believe that to be the case. Buster, I got to ask you a little bit about what the Padres do. I know 7-6 after a tough series loss to the Dodgers, but this team just looks a little bit different than they have in the past in terms of how they're competing.
Yeah, I mean, the talent is translating for sure. And here's the other thing, and it really jumps out with different teams in this very strange 60-game season. I don't think there's any question. There's some teams that are into it and some teams who are not into it. And, you know, for example, if you watch the Cubs, they're dugout so loud. There's a great esprit de corps. The Yankees, I think, have that right now. And I think the Padres have it. I mean, you see the level of excitement among the players. And you know, as Aaron Boone said to us before our Sunday night game the other day, you know, they've talked to the players about, you know, the health and safety protocol and following them. And he said, you have to live it. You have to own it. because it's going to be a separator when it comes in the standings. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It does feel like that the Padres absolutely have that vibe going right now.
Buster, interesting you had a chance to talk to Aaron Boone. I had a chance to go to a game last night for the first time, actually be in the stadium, sitting up in the press box. And I told Tony that the thing that really impressed me the most was the energy that these players on both sides brought to the game. You can't tell on TV just how dead of an atmosphere it is out on that field unless you're at the ballpark. And I got to be honest with you, maybe not every team's bringing it, but a lot of them really are, and I give these baseball players a lot of credit. I don't know if you have the same feeling having actually seen a couple of games.
Yeah, and I was in the ballpark for that first game, the Washington Nationals, and then last Sunday I was sitting in the center field, above center field in Yankee Stadium, and oh my God, watching the outfielders, it definitely, as a dad, reminded me of watching 6-7-year-olds, during T-ball picking daisies. And I have seen a lot of mistakes. Like, you watch games, and the thing that I see all the time is players forgetting how many outs there are.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, during the shutdown, it was clear the fans were missing the players. Man, the players are missing the fans so much. To get back to the standings and sort of how they play out, I think the Padres clearly have an energy. I mentioned, I think the Dodgers do. They've got great veteran leadership. There are going to be some teams where it is going to be dead, where if they're, 10-18, they'll just be there for the plucking, because their team's clearly not playing with a lot of energy.
Yeah, the energy is certainly going to be something that we all need to pay attention to as we get towards the end of this season. Buster Olney here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. And Buster, MLB had to kind of make some changes here, because over that last week, going into the weekend, it was tough to tell that if we were going to have baseball past the weekend. And so they've kind of tightened some things up. Talk to us a little bit about what you're hearing in terms of individual punishment for COVID.
That they're getting more serious about. I mean, let's face it, they're learning more and more about what's necessary. I think they learned from the Marlins situation. I think they learned from, the Cardinals, and to see what some of the Cardinals players were talking about, how they felt like they absolutely adhered to it. But, now they're making adjustments, like on planes. You guys have seen this, where if two guys are sitting in one row, one guy has the mask off, the other guy has to have his mask on. And they're going to have, two essential hall monitors monitoring the team, 16 hours a day, and calling them on it. Now, I haven't gotten a hard answer to the question you asked about, okay, what happens if, a player has, many, many, many violations. I've asked if in fact they will eject that player. I mean, this is something that the Player Association and Major League Baseball is trying to pull off. So I do think if they get the sense that some guy is not adhering in a way that they want after a warning, I wouldn't be surprised if they take him down and basically say, look, you don't want to be part of this, then go home. But we can't have a situation where you're putting other people at risk.
Buster Olney, ESPN, is with us. How upset were the rest of the players in baseball truly about what happened with the Marlins and the Cardinals, or were they maybe a little more understanding than we were led to believe, Buster?
They were upset with the Marlins. I can't tell you that I've heard the same vitriol about the Cardinals. Okay. A lot of that, is sort of based on, the stories that have circulated, which I can't tell you exactly what's true and what's not. Where are their Marlins players out and about in Atlanta? And completely ignoring all the health and safety protocol, the perception of other teams is that they really messed up. And folks with other teams were really angry about that. And I think it's been very interesting, because in the week leading up to that, you got the sense that at the team level, there was growing confidence. Like, you know what? We got this. Okay, right. We're in a rhythm here, and our guys are taking it seriously. And, teams like the Brewers, I heard a great story about how, we had the original health and safety protocol, and then the Brewers had all the family members on a Zoom call and said, here's what we need you to do. you know, to protect this thing. And I think a number of teams have done that. So what happened with the Marlins and the Cardinals absolutely knocked people on their heels, which is why I think they came up with these adjustments.
Yeah, sometimes you need a wake-up call like that. Buster, you talked a little bit about looking at the outfielders, and it reminded you of seeing six-year-olds in the outfield picking Daisy.
That's funny.
What has it been like for you doing Sunday Night Baseball? Because you're in, like, the big show of the day for baseball, and it's just different for all of us watching. I can only imagine that it's different for you at the stadium.
100%. You know, normally, because the best time for any reporter in my job is before the game. You're hanging around the batting cage, and you're waiting for somebody between rounds and say, hey, you know, what are you working on, how you feeling, or whatever, and you get that sort of feedback. So to walk into Yankee Stadium the other day, you know, 3 hours before the game, nobody outside the ballpark, nobody going, being escorted by security person out to center field in my own space.
Yeah, right.
It was so different. And, you know, and looking down as Jackie Bradley Jr., Aaron Hicks make their way out and wondering if you can catch their eye and give them a wave and say hello from the top of that. It's very different in terms of doing the broadcast. It's, and I see this on a lot of broadcasts, there's always that second and a half delay. And yeah. So I step on Matt Biskirchian. I step on Alex Rodriguez. But the other day, and I didn't really realize this, you know, in an empty ballpark, it is like an American Legion game. And so the other day when Aaron Judge hit a monster home run, he swings the bat, and I hear this absolute roar of cheers from the other Yankee players because they know it on the field. Right. They hear the crack of the bat. They see the ball going. And I hear Matt Biskirchian, and there's a swing. And I told Matt this story. I said, I knew about 2 seconds before he did that ball was way out of here. And I was doing all I can but saying, it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, right.
I would do the old Howard Cosell stepping on Keith Jackson on a home run call. I gave myself extra credit for not doing that.
Good job. Buster Olney always does a fantastic job. ESPN joining us here to talk a little baseball. Last thing for me, Buster, about a month ago, maybe we didn't think we'd ever get to this point. Let me just ask your opinion on where you think we'll be a month from now. Do you think that the hardest part is behind us, or are there probably some more big hills still to climb?
I think there's some big hills to climb. I'm much more confident that they're actually going to get through it than I was at the beginning because, look, this is a business. And this, yeah. you think about what the owners did in 1995, where they were willing to put, with replacement players, Class A and Double A players on the field and prop them up as a major league product. So the owners want to make the postseason money. So it's Dan the Torpedoes full speed ahead, and their intention is to get there. And I think a lot of players, I've heard from agents, like 85% of the players are very much in on it now. But here's the X factor that I wonder about. An absolute erosion of veteran guys on teams that are losing, saying, I'm done. I'm really worried about that and how big of a wave that's going to be and, you know, how fans will feel about the product after that happens.
I got one more for you, but that is such a good point with almost no veterans on some of the younger teams out here. That could very well be the case. My last question is this, Buster. Obviously, the playoffs are coming, and it's around that time where Major League Baseball has kind of really been hesitant on having the season carry into because of COVID-19. There's been talks of a bubble during the postseason to kind of keep from having a big outbreak. How likely do you think that is to happen? Is it something that we should expect to see?
I think that they'll talk about it, but, you know, remember the one thing they won't have an opportunity to do, which they did in the NBA and they did in the NHL, is to have that quarantine period. Like, right. The regular season is going to end, and then they're going to play every single day with 16 teams. They have to go right into that best of three right away, and then from that point, you know, go forward. But I do think the biggest thing, the biggest factor is the owners want to cash that postseason television check. And if it means that they're going to play in your, you know, living room, Anthony, they're going to do that.
His living room's big enough.
Indeed. Now, I don't know if about that. Indeed. Buster, appreciate the time, man. Let's catch up again as we get a little deeper into the season.
Thanks, Buster.
That sounds great. Always great to talk with you guys.
All right, take care of yourself.
Buster Olney, ESPN on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or apply online. Visit SDCCU.com. I do have... Say it again.
I believe we have a caller. Scribby was evidently here? Unbeknownst to us. Tony Scribby has been out begging for calls again.
I see. Yeah. What is our caller's name, Scribe?
Oh, I should probably press that button instead of getting your ear. Our caller's name is Gary, and he wants to talk about the. You guys know about this pass ball?
Pass ball. Yeah. Let's bring on Gary. Gary, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Thursday to you. Give us your take.
Happy Thursday, guys. I was listening to you guys and Buster. I absolutely agree, Tony and Chris, with you, your analysis of what they're going on. Just remember, looks like Richards was doing okay in the fifth inning. He walks the first runner, and then these little lapses. Austin Hedges looks like he's going to catch that ball, but he just misses it. The runner advances to second base. What happens next? A base hit brings him home. And he's reeling, and I think he gets replaced soon after that. And then here comes the three-run homer. Now, maybe a lot may not have changed, but little things like that can get into a person's head, meaning the pitcher. And then all of a sudden, you've got to, darn that Dorn, he should have caught that ball, you know what I mean.
Gary, let me jump in there real quick because, and then I know Tony's got something. But first of all, Garrett Richards, we've talked about this already. He has led the league in wild pitches already three times in his career. And I understand that wasn't a wild pitch, but that's how much movement he has on his pitches. And Tony and I have already talked about, he's not easy to catch. And that was a passed ball, and Austin Hedges will tell you he should have caught it 100 out of 100 times. But, Tony, I don't think Garrett Richards really lost any focus or concentration on that because this is a guy that's used to wild pitches and passed balls. He's had a ton of them in his career. It's just the way it's part of what makes him up.
It's hard to say, but certainly it can't be overlooked that it was in that inning that things kind of went awry for him. Whether it had an impact or not, the optics certainly looked like it. And, you know, that's the tough part about it. This is why ultimately, Gary, his point is accurate, is that the little small things, and you heard Jace Tingler say there's about three or four areas that they got to get better at in order to reach that level. These small things, that whether it's running out of an inning or a pass ball or, you know, not making going to the right base, those things add up, especially when you're playing quality teams. And what we're realizing in the National League West, there's a lot of quality teams. And in this particular season, you're also playing against the AL West, where there's another bunch of quality teams. So the day off is needed, because I think moving forward, what the Padres are starting to realize is that as talented as this roster is on paper, the little things still have to be tied up. And once that starts happening, I think you start seeing – a really good baseball team. I wanted to get this note in because we had a lot of talks about how the season was in kind of flux because so many teams had missed games. Well, Major League Baseball has announced that all of those games will be made up prior to the season ending. That's the 7-inning doubleheader. So at this point, as long as there's no more, you know, big breakouts or outbreaks, everybody's going to end up playing the same game. And remember, the thing that Major League Baseball talked a lot about was the integrity of the schedule. This allows them to keep that integrity as long as they're able to finish these games without another big outbreak.
That means the Miami Marlins, the Phillies, and the Cardinals are going to have to play about 14 doubleheaders before the season is over.
Pretty much.
But that's okay. If that's what they have to do, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Although these 7-inning games are weird to me, Tony. And
super
I think that they're
weird.
I think they're really weird. Like, we haven't had one yet with the Padres, and hopefully we don't have one. But a 7-inning game, it's incredible, man. You get out of a jam in the fourth inning, and all of a sudden you're looking for your closer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, the game is
right
almost over.
Corner.
We got a score here. We need a couple of runs. I mentioned it the other day. I was watching the Yankees play the Phillies, and the Phillies were ahead, I think, like 11-2 or something. And, you know, they're just cruising in the sixth inning. And then the Yankees come up with about four or five runs, and now it's 11-7. I'm thinking, man, there's a lot of ball game left. You know, they can win this game. And then the next thing I know, the Philly closer's in there, and the game's over. And I think, oh, that's
like, whoa,
right.
Whoa, whoa,
it's only
that?
Seven innings. That's it. You got to do things. Yeah. I think you got to manage differently. You got to play differently. You got to be, you know, you got to be a little more choosy on when you're aggressive on the base paths, et cetera. I think everything comes into play in a seven-inning game. The starting pitcher can pitch a little differently, knowing that he's probably going to go five, six maximum, right? He's not going to have to go eight or nine because there is no eight or nine. So it's different. It's going to be weird, but I like what Buster said. I think that, you know, we got a pretty good chance now that we're through this Marlin thing. We're apparently through this Cardinal thing. I think there are going to be a couple of more situations pop up, but hopefully not that many players on a single team. And the concern goes right back to the beginning of our show today when I talked about how amazed I am at how much energy these players are bringing to the ballpark with no fans. But as Buster brought up correctly, are the Mariners going to be able to muster up any energy when their record is 10-22 and they're halfway through the season?
I would caution,
be the hardest part.
I will caution all players that fall into that category to think that, just a reminder, even though this is only a 60-game season, these numbers will be put on the back of your bubblegum card.
Ah, good point, Tony.
They will be put on the back of your baseball card. So I would suggest at the very least, even if your team has no shot, at least go for broke for yourself. Have some more
hitting behind the runner, man. Just get a base hit.
Just do what you got to do. Play some good baseball. I promise you, it'll benefit you if you are a free agent moving the next season. All right, I'm done with my rant. We are to the 4 o'clock hour. That means we got some Chris versus the Fan coming up next. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.